In the Netflix movie Bad Trip, Eric Andre and Lil Rel Howery play two best friends who take a road trip from Florida to New York City. Their journey begins with a car theft and takes them through loud, ill-fated mishaps at a country bar, a roadside zoo, and much more.
The twist in Bad Trip is that each scene is also an elaborate prank, blending fiction and reality, with a mayhem taking place as real, unsuspecting strangers look on.
I don't know.
You told me to do that. Don't play that.
Why did you do that?
You asked for Don't play with me.
I'm Aisha Harris.
And I'm Stephen Thompson. Today we are talking about Bad Trip on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR, so don't go away.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Mini Cooper. Mini Cooper invites you to explore the newly redesigned 2022 Mini. It's the most exciting model year yet. You can decide whether you'd like a two-door, four-door, or convertible model. Then choose from an array of bold new paint colors and interior finishes. No matter what you're into, every detail is customizable just the way you want it. Behind the wheel of a Mini, we may all be different, but we're pretty good together. Visit MiniUSA.com to explore the full 2022 lineup.
Welcome back. So it's just the two of us today. In Bad Trip, Eric Andre and Lil Rel Howery play two best friends who work crummy jobs in their Florida hometown. But when Eric Andre runs into his high school crush Maria, played by Michaela Conlon, he hatches a foolish plan to win her heart. He and Lil Rel Howery will steal the bright pink car owned by Lil Rel's incarcerated sister, played by Tiffany Haddish, and then travel from Florida to New York City, where Maria runs an art gallery. Naturally, Tiffany Haddish breaks out and angrily pursues them. Basically, the concept is right there in the title. It's a big, loud, action-packed road trip gone wrong, full of bodily fluids and outrageous mayhem. Directed by Kitao Sakurai, Bad Trip is also an extended prank show. You get scene after scene where something outrageous happens and unsuspecting strangers become part of the action. Imagine kind of like Borat, but rowdier and more chaotic, with less social commentary and more body horror and outright ridiculousness. Aisha, what did you think of Bad Trip?
Well, I watched it kind of on a whim. I had heard good things about it from people and critics on Twitter who I respect. I also did not know anything about the premise. I just knew who was in it. And I was like, oh, I enjoy both Lil Rel and Tiffany Haddish, especially when they are together. So not knowing what it was about, it took me a little while to realize, oh, this is the type of movie that I wouldn't normally want to watch, because I'm not a prank show, undercover, hidden camera type person. I was never a huge fan of the Borat series. Doing the sort of gotcha moment for unsuspecting people was never something that I really enjoyed. But this is so much like, instead of trying to reveal that people are horrible and have these terrible morals and ideas about the world, this is a movie that's like very specifically about showing people who are actually going to help.
Yeah.
Or who are like willing to help, even if it's very, very reluctantly. One of my favorite scenes comes when Tiffany Haddish's character is just escaping from this prison bus, and she rolls out and there's a city worker working. She's like, can you help me? He reluctantly helps her, and then he comes across a prison guard who's like, where did this inmate go? And he suggests where to go. Let's actually listen to a clip, because this is right after that's happened. Tiffany Haddish's character has just run back and she's thanking him for helping her out.
Man, I just wanted to thank
go,
you.
Go, go, go. He's looking for you.
You really?
They're looking for you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate you. You got a baby mama?
Run away, please. Get away from me before I get in trouble.
So it's just like moments like that that I really, really enjoyed. And I was laughing the entire time during this movie, because all the people that they wind up showing in this film, they just want to help. And I think especially now when we see so many like very cynical ways of playing out this prank, especially Borat subsequent movie film, it's nice to see one that is actually kind of just like heartwarming in a way.
Yeah, I think you really hit the nail on the head. My issue with the Borat movies is very often that people who don't know they're in a movie, people who are trying to go about their day, are being dragged into scenes where they are the butt of the joke. And I think that is very, very different from pulling off these kind of big, broad, mostly fundamentally good-natured pranks where the marks in these scenes are just reacting to things. And sometimes they're reacting to things in funny ways. Sometimes it's reluctancy. Sometimes it's kind of gaping. There's a hilarious moment where a woman is holding up a cell phone, like filming this ridiculous scene that's playing out. And she says something like, somebody should do something. and to me, like, that is such a hilarious little commentary on human nature that isn't putting her under a microscope. She is not the subject of the scene. She is commenting on the scene in a funny way, in a natural way. And I think that makes this movie so much more good-natured than it might otherwise be. And the strangers who pop up sometimes take on a heroic role. They come off as actively agents of good. And that is very sweet and very heartwarming. I will say, watching this movie, I had one of the strongest pangs I have felt in pandemic times of wishing I could be experiencing a movie in a crowded theater. And this movie, with a rowdy crowd at the Regal Majestic in Silver Spring, Maryland, would be such a different experience from watching this alone at night in my living room. Because these scenes are just engineered to ratchet up crowd energy. There's so much like, oh no, oh no, oh no, that plays out as these scenes progress. And I just so missed the experience of like big communal laughter. This is a movie like someday find a way to watch this movie in a crowd. And this movie, this kind of cringy prank comedy, is absolutely not for everybody. You'll know, I think, very quickly if you're in or out watching this movie.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff Tremaine is a producer on this movie, and he's actually what the director of the Jackass franchise. So that'll give you a sense of like what you're dealing with. Like, there's a lot of bodily humor, very sophomoric humor going on here. But there is a story to it. It's not just pranks going on. There's a way in which the people they are roping into these pranks are helping to push the story along. Every scene is kind of building on the last one. It's not just like, oh, we're going to, you know, insert this thing here. And I have to say, it's totally worth reading the interviews that Eric Andre has given about how they made this film, because as soon as it was over, I was like, I want to figure out how they were able to pull this off. There's an interview with Decider where he talks about how they only wanted reaction shots of people who were not in on the jokes. Reading about the ways in which they were able to pull these pranks off is just really almost as entertaining as watching the movie itself. So I highly recommend seeking it out.
Yeah, I think this is a movie that actually benefits from some of that context, because you watch it and you really are like, how much in danger are they? You get that experience a little bit watching the Borat movies as well. And I think one very smart thing that this movie does, not only for entertainment value, but for providing that context, is that in the closing credits, you get the aftermath of some of these scenes. You get people finding out that they were being pranked. You get some outtakes that didn't make the movie. You get a sense that some of these scenes were shot many times with many different marks, and you see some of the kind of different ways that a scene might really not work. And, you know, one thing you don't see in the credits that I'm sure had to happen repeatedly is these are very famous actors. Tiffany Haddish is acting up in a very crowded restaurant, pulling like the kind of that loudest version of Tiffany Haddish. And you're just thinking like, dude, she was in Girls Trip. I mean, obviously you're divorced from the context of expecting Tiffany Haddish in any way, but you wonder how many times like Lil Rel Howery was in Get Out. You know, Eric Andre has a TV show called The Eric Andre Show. These are recognizable faces to many people. So I'm sure there were a lot of different ways that scenes got fouled up. But you, I'm sure, take many, 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 many hours of footage and whittle it down to the 1 hour and 26 minutes that you get here.
I just really, really enjoyed this movie way more than I thought I would.
Yeah. I think enjoying it more than I thought I would. I mean, we could absolutely pick apart scenes for criticism. In general, Michaela Conlon and Tiffany Haddish are not given nearly as much to do as Lil Rel Howery and Eric Andre. I think there were certainly areas that could have been developed more. Your mileage may vary. There are scenes here that are certainly like treading some very familiar comedic tropes. But I did think it's interesting. I've seen a lot of analysis of this movie, and I have certainly had similar analysis where it's like, this is Borat, but minus social commentary. But I did pick up threads of social commentary to be gleaned from this movie. I found it very striking how often Eric Andre and Lil Rel Howery and Tiffany Haddish come into Black spaces and create mayhem, and how interesting it is that the police are either not involved, discussed very much in passing, like maybe somebody should call 911, but no one does. I found that very interesting how often the police don't come into this story.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. And I also just think the fact that like this movie with Black characters and in Black spaces, seeing the way in which Black people are so open to helping them, these people are just willing to help. They might laugh at you while they're doing it or be like, you're crazy, what are you doing? But they will try to help you anyway because that's what they do. So I thought that was just another kind of way in which this felt really sweet and just, you know, amidst all the bodily humor jokes, there's also like a layer of sweetness and goodness there.
Well, we want to know what you think about Bad Trip. Find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. That brings us to the end of our show. Thanks, Aisha.
Thank you, Stephen.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We'll see you all right back here tomorrow when we'll be talking about the Great Pottery Throwdown.
I'm Guy Raz, and on NPR's How I Built This, how Amanda Hesser walked away from one of the most coveted jobs in journalism to build a digital media company for recipes and kitchen gear called Food 52. Subscribe or listen now.